The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, we ask that you will glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us his word, and as we share the word today and meditate upon it, we ask that your spirit, Lord, will bring glory to our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I hope that you were able to get through all of the rush and the excitement and the busyness of this past Thursday. Whew, I'm glad it's over. Wow, that was some day. Did you have a great day? Did you have a paid holiday? What about all those specials on Thursday, right, at the mall? No? The Ascension Day specials? You didn't shop on Thursday? How about cards? Man, my mailbox was flooded with Ascension Day cards this past Thursday. It's not really noticed too much in our worship, in our faith, the Ascension. It happens every year. It's 40 days after Easter. It's usually on a Thursday. But even today gets a very dull moniker, like, well, it's the Sunday after Ascension, right? Like, oh yeah, it's the Friday after my birthday. Nothing. It goes flat. But perhaps some of the recent events that are in the news, in the media, perhaps some of these things would put a little bit more focus on Ascension Day. I'm talking about many reports, many videos, credible, about UFO sightings, right? I mean, yeah, you laugh. We always laughed. In the past, we've always laughed about it. We've heard somebody tell a story about UFOs, and we read stories, and people are abducted, and there are TV shows and movies. We kind of laugh about it. Even nearby town here, very close to us, you've heard of what happened in 1965 in Kecksburg, PA, right? We all know about Kecksburg, PA, 1965, an alien encounter. Some sort of strange, fiery, acorn-looking thing came and flashed over the sky and landed in the forest there, and I believe it was even escorted out in the darkness of night.
What was it? Well, we don't know, but it sure has been good for Kecksburg because they have an alien festival every year. So it keeps the local economy going. Pittsburgh is actually rather a hot spot for these sightings, and one of the higher places in the country of local sightings. One, a few years back on West Mifflin, on Lebanon Church Road. You can find all those on the internet. We even have a parishioner who shall, for privacy, remain nameless, but told me the story of their father in a very strange encounter not far from here that it was very credible. Very credible indeed. But the information that's coming to light now is different, because now this has been official stuff released by the military, released by the government, and video, and people that, you know, that seem sane and know what they're talking about. This past week, even a former rear admiral in the Navy has come out and spoken about this issue. And the government, of course, has released a lot of material. What does all that mean for Christianity? What does that mean for us? I mean, I admit that it puts me aback a little bit when I think about it. If this life on other planets is discovered, how does that sit for us? I mean, does that mean our story is not a unique story? Does that mean that there are just other places and other saviors, other Bethlehems and other crucifixions and resurrections, and we just sort of fall into the mess of everybody else's story out there? How does that affect the incarnation? Jesus took on human flesh. Human flesh. God became man and walked our earth, our land, our roads. Well, you know, the Bible has never been silent concerning other forms of life. What about angels? They're in today's story. Two angels. Angels are mentioned some 300 times in the Bible. We even have the names of certain angels. And they've played a major role in the story of Scripture. They appear at critical moments or in a crisis in the history of God's people. They were there at the birth of Jesus. They were there during his passion, right before the crucifixion. They were there at the temptation in the wilderness. They were certainly there at the resurrection, and now the ascension. So in all of these significant times in the life of Christ, there are angels. And we know even that how they look, that they are dressed, the scripture tells us, dazzling, dazzling white. Their role in Scripture has been threefold. They praise God. When we look at the book of Revelation and we roll back and take a look into heavens, we see them at the throne of God. We see that they continually give praise to God. They are messengers. They proclaim. They bring messages. Brought the message to Mary, the message to Joseph. And different times in the Old Testament, they come with a proclamation. And they also protect. They protect at various points in Scriptures. We see them protect. And the book of Hebrews tells us, one of the really strange Scriptures about it, it says that some, the author says, some have entertained angels unawares. What does that mean? They move among us, apparently. We don't know. We don't know who they are. Aside from angels, the scripture gives us other supernatural forms of life. Archangels. They're different, but there are archangels. And then there is some really wild thing called the Nephilim. Right? The Nephilim. Things are written about them and stories and people talk and there's so much, you know, stuff out about the Nephilim. These strange creatures that came in Genesis and they married women and they had children and we don't know. And even in Israel there was a group of people, maybe Goliath was of this group, but there were giants in the land. Certainly giants in the land. What are they? There are cherubim. There are seraphim. And then in Ephesians 6, Paul says this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That is a whole bunch of something or something that is supernatural, unseen, that we don't know about. The supernatural has really always been a part of Scripture, of the Christian worldview. It's nothing new. And it shocks us, right? It shocks us. The world was shocked a long time ago when a guy named Copernicus said, you know what? I know you think that you're here on Earth and that humans are living here and the whole universe revolves around us, but guess what I discovered? We're just a part of something much bigger, and we revolve around the sun. And, they wanted to get rid of him. It created quite a stir when he said that humans are not the center of the universe. What difference does the ascension of Jesus Christ and the ascension to the right hand of the Father, to the throne of God. What difference does it make? Well, Luke, apparently it had a real impact on him because he writes about it on two occasions. We read today in the book of Acts, chapter 1, Luke's account of it, but he also closes his gospel with another account of this ascension of Jesus. And here's what he says in Luke about what happened after the ascension. Maybe help give us a little clue of what difference it makes. And they, the disciples, worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. You see, before the ascension, what was going on? Before the ascension, you know, they were stuck. They were actually stuck. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what it was all about, and they have questions. We find them before the ascension. Well, okay, Jesus, we still have questions. We would still like some answers. We still need more knowledge, more information. Now, are you going to set up the kingdom of God now? Tell us about that. Tell us how that's going to happen. 3 years of living with him, 3 years of hearing his teaching, watching the miracles, and seeing the resurrection, and now 40 more days of hearing him teach and watching things going on, and they're stuck still. They want some answers. Just little bit more. Not only were they stuck, but they were sad. And rightly so. Rightly so, because he's leaving. It's a loss, right? Just as when he gathered with them in the upper room and he told them, I'm going where I'm going, you can't come. And that night before the crucifixion, the heaviness, the sadness that hung over that upper room, once again, Jesus has to tell them, I'm leaving. And there's a sadness about it, an aloneness about it. The other thing about pre-ascension disciples is that they are spectators. Did you notice that? They're spectators. I think even in the Greek, when the angels come along and say, you Galileans, what are you doing? Why are you standing there? Why are you standing there staring up in the sky? Get going. Right? They were in spectator mode. As you do, I have a little, probably I have a robin's nest, you know, under my deck every year. You know, they come in, it's disruptive, and she has her babies, and I come out, and she squawks and flies and yells at me, and we go through it every year, okay? But it's fun to watch. And yesterday, the last one, there were three babies in there, and yesterday, you know, and so there was get out of the nest day and fly, right? The other day, get out of the nest and take them out, and let me show you how to eat, let me show you how to fly. But, you know, there's always one. There's always one that just, it sat there on the edge of the nest, and he or she was a spectator for the whole day, for 24 hours. His brothers and sisters were flying around, having fun, getting food, and the mother was teaching them, and this one little guy was a spectator. And it was pitiful. It was pitiful to watch him. He just sat there because he was afraid. He was afraid to get out there and participate and get in on what was going on. That's like the disciples during this, before this ascension. They're spectators. And the ascension of Jesus happens, and it's like a detonator for a bomb. They are no longer spectators. They are participants. They are no longer staring upward, but they are focused outward. Jesus says, I've got a mission for you. They are no longer looking for answers to their questions, but they have a vocation. There's a plan. Jesus says, you are going to be witnesses for me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, into the uttermost parts of the earth. They're unstuck. They're not spectators. They're willing participants. Witnesses. Oh, well, I can do that, right? We know what a witness is. Ah, the English fails to grasp that word in the Greek, doesn't it? Martyrios. Martyr. Ah, that's what Jesus is saying. Get up, get moving, you're going to be a martyr for me. Isn't that exciting? The ascension of Jesus to the right hand of God means that he is no longer bound by space and time. He does not have to be in one place only at one time. Only. It means that we are not alone, that he is present with his church always and forever and all of the time. The ascension of Christ, true flesh and blood, dust, okay, on the throne of God, ruling the universe, human flesh. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews tells us that from there, he intercedes for us daily. He intercedes. He's with us. He intercedes for us. And he's also busy preparing for us. I go to prepare a place for you. The ascension of Jesus means that we do have a future. It's not over. This Jesus will return in the same manner. Guess what? There's another event that's going to happen. It's been 2,000 years, so we got to be getting close. But there's something else going to happen. The story's not over. This Jesus will return in same manner. You have a destiny. You have a future. And their sadness, it says, they left in great joy. If we are not a joyful people, maybe it's because we have failed to understand the ascension. On April 12, 1961, Yuri Gagarin, Russian cosmonaut, first human in space. April 12, 1961. Now, a quote has been attributed to him, and then it's been denied, and so we don't really know. But if he didn't say it, I think Nikita Khrushchev said it, or someone in the Communist Party said it. For all you fact checkers out there. Okay? But he was the first human being in space, and what they said afterwards is that Gagarin has flown into space and God is not there. God is not there. Compare that to what William Anders of the Apollo 8 mission said on Christmas Eve of 1968, as they were out there and people were listening on the radio, and they says, people of America, we have a message for you. And they opened up their Bible and they read, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." I don't know what all is out there. But I do know who sits on the throne, who rules and reigns in the universe. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.